Scripture this morning comes from the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. I invite you to hear this familiar story anew. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. May God add a reading to the hearing and blessing of his word. Our song of meditation is hymn number 469. "Fight the good fight with all thy might. Let us stand and sing."
Relationships are hard work. Relationships are hard work. We often hear this refrain in the context of marriage. And while it is true in marriage, the same truth can be applied to other relationships. Sometimes friendships can be hard work too. And I think sometimes work relationships can be hard. People of different backgrounds, different personality types and different life experiences, all trying to get along together and sometimes succeeding and sometimes, I suppose, not succeeding. And we think about relationships in terms of individuals, but we can also think about them in terms of groups trying to get along with each other. There are biblical examples of groups, and very often the groups that are mentioned in the Bible don't get along very well, indicating that it's hard work for them too. Jews and Gentiles, for instance, are often mentioned in the Bible. Think about in the book of Acts, the Aramaic-speaking Jewish Christians and the Greek-speaking Jewish Christians, and as if relationships aren't hard enough, it can even be harder when you don't speak the same language. In Sunday school today, we talked about Pharisees and Sadducees who didn't get along very well. In the Old Testament, I think about the Israelites and the Philistines, just to name a few. And if there was a chance that there could be healthy relationships, it was going to take effort. So it's really not all that big of a surprise that one of the ways in which the Bible presents a human being's relationship with God is as a struggle. That is, something that involves effort, hard work. The story that we have read today is familiar, and to people who've been to church all their lives, it's probably familiar enough that you know it, but it deserves a quick summary by way of reminder. Abraham had one son. His name was Isaac, and Isaac's name means laughter, which I always like to mention because it proves once and for all that God has a sense of humor. Isaac had two sons. They were twins, Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau was the older brother, and that means that he was the heir to the estate. And the Bible tells us that he was also his father's favorite son, which is an interesting thing because I think most of us believe and we identify ourselves as being fair, and we do not think that parents should prefer one child over another. But in the Bible, they seem to do that all the time. Esau was Isaac's favorite. Jacob, who was not the favorite, the younger son, would also go on later in his life to give preferential treatment. And in that sense, they're not real good role models for parents. Jacob, as a matter of fact, isn't the best role model in the world for what it means to be a good human being. As a matter of fact, he was a bit of a scoundrel. At a time when he had caught Esau hungry, he convinced him to sell his birthright, his inheritance, for a bowl of soup. Means that Esau must have been very hungry. It also means that perhaps he was being foolish. But nonetheless, at a time when he was weak, he had a brother that would be sure to take advantage of his weakness. For some reason, the Bible doesn't indicate that a great big deal was made out of this. But they also had a tradition that is perhaps unfamiliar to us, where before the end of life, a father would give a blessing to his children. And these blessings were very powerful and very meaningful. And of course, each child would get a blessing, but it was meaningful to them that you received the blessing that was meant for you. And the story is that by stealth, Jacob sat in Esau's place and received the blessing of the older son. And by that way, he stole the blessing as well as the inheritance from Esau. And what we're told is that this did make Esau mad. It made him mad enough that he wanted to kill Jacob. So he had to leave. And he went and lived with his uncle for a while. And he stayed away for several years, probably decades. And both of them went about their lives. They married, and they had children, and they started making a fortune of sorts. Until finally, it came time for Jacob to come home. It came time for him to establish himself as the one who had inherited the estate of his father. And it raised the question, how would he be received? Was Esau still angry with him? Would they be able to make peace? Or would there be a war between the two brothers? Relationships take hard work, and these two had quite a bit of work to do. And that brings us to the story that we've read today. When Jacob had returned almost all the way, he had reached the Jordan River, and he was ready to enter into his homeland, where a meeting with Esau was inevitable. For some reason, he sent his whole family across the ford at Jabbok. And all that is a tributary. I don't even know how to say the word right, correctly. Jabbok. But it shows up on maps. You can see it there. He sent his family across, which means he sent them ahead, but he himself stayed behind. Maybe it was because he was nervous about the confrontation with Esau that was imminent. He had not treated his brother very well. And Esau had a right to be angry. Or maybe it was because Jacob himself was suffering from an inner turmoil. He was engaged in a struggle with himself, perhaps, as he examined his life, maybe felt a little guilty. Maybe he was realizing that his gain had been his brother's loss. One can't say for sure. Perhaps it was a number of things. But what the story tells us is that while he was behind by himself, he was attacked by a stranger, and they wrestled with each other all night long. Until finally, about daybreak, we were told that the stranger just touched him on the hip and crippled him, which kind of gives you the notion that the stranger could have beaten him at any time he wanted, but he waited until he was completely out of energy. And then comes the miracle, really. Because even in that state where he was crippled, when the time came for the stranger to leave, Jacob grabbed on to him, and he wouldn't let him go. And he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Unlike the blessing that he had stolen from his brother, this time he could only beg and hope it would be given to him as a gift. The stranger blessed him there and gave him the name Israel, which is sometimes translated and very often interpreted to mean to struggle with God. And we are told that the reason why he was given this name is because that he had struggled with God and with men and had prevailed. Relationships are hard work. I suspect that when you're a scoundrel like Jacob, they're even harder work because you're continuously doing things to make them harder. But a relationship with God is the hardest of all. And one way to see it is that it is like a wrestling match, a struggle. And in some ways, if we are going to wrestle with God, if we are going to struggle with God, we have to go in knowing that we are destined to lose, that at some point we will be crippled, wounded, defeated. It's kind of interesting because we live in a time when we have such contention between world religions, and there is this other world religion that we see in the news every day called Islam, which comes from the same part of the world as Christianity and Judaism does. And as a matter of fact, they consider this story to be sacred, a sacred part of their history too. And one of the pillars of Islam is this struggle. It's called jihad, which means struggle. Although some of them interpret the jihad to mean to fight a holy war against the infidels, which is, of course, us, and we live every day in a world that is affected by people who believe that way. they make the hard work of building a relationship with them a lot harder. And I think maybe sometimes we do things to make it harder too. But most Muslims say that jihad is best understood as a struggle like the one Jacob had that night with that stranger. And beyond that, a struggle for good against evil. A struggle for good against evil in the inner self. It seems to be part of what this stranger was saying Jacob had done. Nonetheless, this struggle is only one way of seeing our relationship with God. Sometimes we like to speak of God as a friend, or we like to speak of God as a father, or as a guide. But this text tells us that it's okay, at least some of the time, to see God as an enemy who seeks to change us and to grow us, to help us do the hard work of having relationships. And we have relationships in our own time that are also very difficult. The relationship between black and white, between the rich and the poor, between men and women. Sometimes those are kind of funny. We make jokes about those, about that one all the time. Democrats and Republicans, whatever division one wants to see, they're hard work. And sometimes it is tempting to just give up and believe that the hard work isn't going to get done and the relationships aren't going to work out. But before we find ourselves in personal relationships, or before we find ourselves in groups that are having relationships among themselves, we are also involved in an inner struggle. And that inner struggle is a struggle with God, who wrestles with us and exhausts us and then wounds us a little, but only a little, because His intent is not to destroy us, but to prepare us. In the battle waged, our demons are exorcised. Our lives are cleansed. Our minds are renewed. And our hearts are transformed. Until at last, we are ready to meet our neighbor. We are ready to love our enemy. What happened to Jacob is simply this. He grew up. Until that time, he had lived his life pretty much for himself. He had cheated his brother. He had lied to his father. And he had swindled his uncle. Fascinating stories. If you haven't read them in a while, you know where to find them. In Genesis. He would go on to give preferential treatment to one of his 12 sons over the others. And that would create a jealousy in them that would create severe dysfunction among them. Yet he is presented here as somebody who has struggled with God. And that's what his name means. The wrestling match at what came to be known as Peniel represents for us the doing of the hard work of having a relationship with God. On the one hand, we should know that it's, we should know better than to have a wrestling match with God, because how can you win that one? But on the other hand, it is just that struggle to which we are invited. That's part of what the Bible's message is about, that we are invited into a relationship which is gonna be hard work. And sometimes it's going to be like a wrestling match. But it's the only way for us to grow up spiritually. It's the only way for us to become human beings the way God intends for us to be human beings. It's the only way to become less selfish. to set aside anger and fear. It is the only way to become compassionate and kind and generous. And it's the only way for us to come to love our neighbors, both the ones who we count as friends and the ones we count as enemies. But in the end, I think it's not a struggle at all. It turns out to be a more peaceful submission in the end, where we let go of our prejudices and our selfish desires, and we come out into the light, like taking off a veil through which we just couldn't see. So that it's not surprising, really, that the last image in this story is the image of the sunrise, the new day dawning, and Jacob heading away from that place to go meet his brother, even though he was walking with a limp. All of us are wounded a little, but we are not destroyed. What we are is prepared. Prepared for a new day. The sun has just risen. And the way the Bible presents it, the sun has risen mostly on the people who have not been afraid of the struggle. The struggle, the hard work of doing a relationship with God. And what happens to us on this new day is that instead of meeting each other the way Jacob and Esau met each other in the womb, or in their childhood, or in their young adulthood, they meet each other the way they met when Jacob returned home. And they wept. And they blessed each other. And they embraced each other. So that there was no war. They forgave one another. And that gives us something to think about as we live out our struggle with our neighbors and friends and our struggle with God. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would give us the ability to just walk away from the worship service that we've had today, like Jacob walked away from his wrestling match, into the light of a new day, that you would help us to think new thoughts and have new hope and to forgive anew and to seek forgiveness anew and to be strengthened and to be encouraged again. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Our song of dedication this morning is number 2243. We are all one in mission. I invite you to stand and sing a hymn of dedication this morning. We thank you, O Lord, for speaking to us through the words of these songs and this scripture, through the time we spent in Bible study. We pray that you would also leave this place with us and go with us on our journey, giving us all the things we need to serve you better and to be strengthened and encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.